This is David Green with the Cultural Alliance of Fairfield County, welcoming you to the December edition of Spotlight on Arts and Culture, our monthly live interview show, the second Monday of each month on WPKN 89.5 FM, bringing you news and information about the arts and culture across coastal Fairfield County, from Greenwich to Shelton. With more than 600 members, all the cultural institutions, organizations, and almost 300 individual artists, the Cultural Alliance connects, networks, promotes, and informs you about the arts and culture around our region. Today, our subject is arts councils and arts commissions. What good do they do? As the Cultural Alliance builds relationships with municipalities and the economic and community development offices of the 13 towns we serve in coastal Fairfield County, our key partners on the ground in each of these towns are, or should be, the Arts Council or Arts Commissions, wherever they exist. These are the groups that clearly share our interest in building cultural infrastructure and making connections across the many municipal departments involved in arts, culture, economic, social, and community development. They will be the ones that know the arts activities and arts groups in their towns better than anyone. Last week, we at the Cultural Alliance convened as many arts councils as we could. This is not an easy task because many of them have no paid staff or officers. The personnel they have are often volunteers, often with other day jobs and commitments. However, we did manage to gather 9 councils and commissions together, and it turned out there was a lot to talk about. A lot of differences in terms of roles, structures, and relationships to government and other community organizations, and quite a lot of variety in what they were doing with their towns and communities. So we thought it would be a good idea to bring a small subset of that group together today to discuss some of these issues before a wider public. So we welcome today Nancy Diamond, who is the co-chair of the Westport Arts Advisory Committee. Welcome, Nancy.
And welcome to you. Nice to be here.
John Varamo, who is a staff member of the Stamford Office of Economic Development and program manager for Stamford Arts and Culture, who has been seconded to the brand new Stamford Arts Commission. Welcome, John.
Thank you, David. Happy to be here.
And Susan Wallerstein, longstanding chair of the Norwalk Arts Commission. Welcome.
Thank you.
Susan. So one thing we learned early on is that each of these commissions and councils have different structures, different responsibilities, staffing, budgets. First, I'd like to get your take on the difference, I'm not clear on it myself, between a council and a commission. We invited 6 councils and 6 commissions to our meeting last week. And I know that in Stamford, John, there used to be a Stamford Arts Council, which was pretty hefty in its day, and now there's a commission. Anyone want to take that?
Well, yeah. I always thought that a council usually mm-hmm. consisted of elected people by the public, and then uh-huh. Then a commission would be one where it would be appointed by someone such as the mayor, which mm-hmm. is how we are organized in Stamford.
Yeah. Is that your understanding?
No, well, yeah. So
you have many years of experience in this.
We're in New England, or Connecticut, 160 some odd municipalities. You could have 160 different ways of looking at
right,
this. So,
right.
I would say, in my experience, arts councils are frequently live outside government. It doesn't uh-huh. mean they don't partner with them. They're often member-based organizations, which means individual, much like the Cultural Alliance, individual artists and arts organizations may choose to become part of an arts council.
Right.
I think Wilton, for example, is an arts council.
Mm-hmm.
So while they serve the broader community and may connect. So commissions are official, in at least in Norwalk, official parts of municipal government. We are not advisory. We are established, as is Stanford, by ordinance, which means law, mayoral appointment, council approval. And it gives us some, not only it gives us some legitimacy, but also responsibilities, budgets, and a presence. We sit within city government.
Right. Okay, that sounds pretty clear. And then we have Westport, which is unique.
Of course,
in many ways.
Of course, in Westport, we're neither a council nor a commission. The Westport Arts Advisory Committee is an appointed group whose role primarily is to advise the first selectman on arts policy. We have a lot of autonomy to do things, but we are definitely a government.
Right. So you're closer to a commission than a council, but not quite a commission.
Exactly.
Right. So I always love origin stories, so I thought I would ask how you all got started, how, when, why. And again, I think, Susan, you have the longest and perhaps most complicated or colorful story. I don't know. And how long have you been working with the Arts Commission in Norwalk?
Well, I've lived in Norwalk. My perspective is on Norwalk is 47 years.
Wow.
And so what, not necessarily always being involved directly, although always interested and involved in the arts in different ways. So I would say Norwalk, one of the reasons, the end of the story is one of the reasons I felt personally it was important for Norwalk to become a commission through ordinance is I had seen different forms of councils ebb and flow over my 47 years. So typically in that time period, there would be different people who had particular interests, be it the rebirth of South Norwalk and the involvement of people who are still around, like John Cassano and Breck Morgan. So there was funding through the developer and through the government to incubate an arts council to get the art scene going in South Norwalk. However, over time, that went away. And when it goes away, there's a void. And then there were people interested in the theater, the Cranberry Park Theater. So they formed an arts council and leveraged some municipal support. But again, when those people either moved or that theater group disbanded, that group went away. I re-entered the scene in 2009 when there was a Mayor's Advisory Council on the Arts, more similar to Westport in some ways.
So that was 10 years ago.
So that was 10 years ago. So we've spent the last 10 years sort of affirming our identity, figuring out who we were and what form. And then as of 2017, we became an official commission.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
That was a lot of
So hopefully
of
it,
work.
Won't go, it doesn't go away then. Now it requires a lot of votes. I mean, it should be here. Doesn't mean Norwalk couldn't also benefit from having a council or a member-based organization.
Right.
But
you've seen at least two councils come and go in Norwalk. And I know as a resident of Fairfield, we had an arts council in Fairfield, which disappeared, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. And Bridgeport had an arts council, which also disappeared a few years ago, though there are efforts now to reestablish one.
Well, one of the advantages of being part of the government is you don't disappear as quickly.
Yeah. So tell us the Westport story.
The Arts Advisory Committee was formed almost 25 years ago as a group to make sure that to preserve the legacy of Westport as an arts community. That's primarily why it was created. It was very important. We have a very large art collection in Westport of almost 1,400 works, and many of them are in the schools. And we wanted to make sure that students had everyday exposure to art in the schools. So the committee started out that way and has grown in the last 25 years to also look for ways to keep the arts alive and vibrant in Westport.
So how did it actually get started? Were there a couple of people?
There was an educator, Bert Chernow.
Of course.
And Bert,
yeah.
Bert
was
the one.
It.
Yeah, he was the one. He started it. He was an educator. And he felt really, he also began the collection at Housatonic Community College.
Yes.
And it was really, really important to him that art be in the schools. And that was the genesis of the committee.
I see. fantastic. So that's a long... so you've
had, almost 25
been around
years.
For 25 years. So, John, you're the the new kid on the block.
Yes.
In
more ways than
more
one,
ways
right?
than one.
Yes.
Can you tell us the Stanford story?
So the Stanford Arts and Culture Commission was originally formed from an informal group of arts and cultural leaders in the city, like Lou Orsone from Curtain mm-hmm. Call and Marty Etter from the Ballet School of Stanford, just coming together on a regular basis to discuss some of the things, issues that they were having, grants, how to engage the community. It was very informal. They were just meeting on their own. And then this idea came somewhere in the Stanford government to make it more formal. So we were created by the Stanford Board of Representatives. They passed an ordinance, which was signed into law last year by Mayor David Martin. So we're official. We've been around for just about a year, maybe a little over a year now. Hmm. So we're really just getting our bearings and seeing how we can become the catalyst for the arts and humanities community in Stanford that we want to see.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Do you remember when the Arts Council, or have you heard when the Arts Council disappeared?
Do you mean the Stanford?
The Stanford Arts Council. It was, I heard that
Community
it
Development
used to...
Corporation, I think, was the one before us. Mm-hmm. I think the last I had heard anything from them was about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. If you're just joining us, this is David Green with the Cultural Alliance of Fairfield County with our December edition of Spotlight on Arts and Culture, our monthly live interview show on WPKN 89.5 FM. With me in the studio today are Nancy Diamond, co-chair of the Westport Arts Advisory Committee, John Varamo, program manager for Stanford Arts and Culture with the Stanford Arts Commission, and Susan Wallerstein, chair of the Norwalk Arts Commission. And we're talking about arts councils and arts commissions and what they do for our towns and communities. So a question I had was about your relationship with the town, but you're all, in fact, part of the town. Could you describe something of your relationship to other municipal departments and commissions? How is your voice heard amongst the others? Susan?
Well, I think one of the reasons there was such universal support for the ordinance that created us as a full commission is inevitably across town government there are aesthetic arts-related issues
yes.
that surface. And right. I think it's those different departments have, over the last 5 years or so, found it very helpful to be able to turn to an arts commission, whether it was advisory or, again, established by ordinance. So the three examples I'll give would be, one is in the area of economic development and tourism. While things have been in flux throughout the state and Fairfield County in terms of state support for cultural tourism and tourism districts, Norwalk has created a mobile app, and we have a consortium of our great assets like Stepping Stones Museum, Lockwood Matthews Mansion, the Maritime Aquarium, the Seaport Association, as well as our rich public art collection like Westport, and we all banded together and were able to pull together kind of an ad hoc tourism group that is working toward that. So as Norwalk moves forward with more focused efforts on economic development and hiring is in the works, I think cultural assets and the Arts Commission will be a key player.
So you were, this as well, you were quote-unquote
advisory, not official.
Yes.
Right. The other one is there was our redevelopment agency recently through a HUD, a federal housing and urban development grant, built-in commissioning of a sculpture into a community development project. And they were very delighted to enter into conversations with the Arts Commission to oversee that process of bringing public art into a public space, and did similarly for an NEA grant they received. So as different departments, be it Parks and Recreation, Redevelopment Agency, Culture and Tourism, look at the cultural assets as part of the picture, the Arts Commission is the natural partner
right,
for that.
Right. So you're being recognized as the go-to
the aesthetic
group.
Voice, the aesthetic the aesthetic perspective. And it's not just the 11 members of the Arts Commission who delightfully represent not only the visual arts but also music. We're looking, for example, at a busker's ordinance to be able to provide opportunities for musicians. But also we have about 70 people who are friends of the Arts Commission. So our meetings are very inclusive, and there are lots of projects percolating and opportunities for people to get involved.
So, John, it's early days still for you. You've
yes.
probably not had too many meetings, but are you essentially, you know, you yourself are employed by the government, by
yes,
the town?
Yes, I work for the City of Stamford in the Department of Economic Development.
Right.
I basically volunteer as staff for the Arts and Culture Commission. And I think that's really exactly what Susan said is right, is the Arts and Culture Commission is going to be that catalyst to help promote tourism and cultural activities in the city. I think a lot of people, when they think Stamford, they don't think of it as a vibrant and fun city with lots of arts. They think of it as a corporate city, which it is. But at the same time, people who work and live in Stamford also need those cultural assets to keep them entertained, to have them, you know, go to a museum after work or go to a concert at the Palace Theater. That's very important to really give everyone kind of a whole feeling in their life. You have to have arts in order
right.
to be happy, I think. For me, at
of
least.
Course.
You
yeah.
have to have the arts
right.
to be happy. So if you're void of that, I think you have a community that's not really very sustainable.
But in terms of how the Arts Commission now is seen as part of other commissions within the government, is it now, I mean, issues that, I don't know the names, but say Parks and Recreation or Economic Development, are they now accepting the Arts Commission as the go-to
So for
place?
Aesthetics, mm-hmm. for if the Parks Department was looking at doing some kind of sculptural piece,
yeah.
Yes, they would. The city also has a 1% for art fund, so 1% of capital projects put on mm-hmm. by the city go into a fund then to be used for arts projects on that property. And when someone goes to use that money, it would, you know, things would have to be approved by the Arts and Culture
right.
Commission. It hasn't happened yet, but different departments have been talking, oh, there's a new Arts and Culture Commission. Maybe we should put this in front of them, get their input. So,
where did that 1% start? Do you know its history?
It's been around for quite a while, at
yeah.
least 20 years. I don't know the history of it, though. But it was used in part to help restore the beautiful Old Town Hall that we have.
So that may have been the impetus for that. Susan, do you have a similar?
We do not have a 1% for arts, but I would say going back to the beginnings of the Wheels bus system, enlightened leaders who believe, as John described, that the arts are important throughout everything we do in our community, there have been set-asides for art. So, for example, the Wheels transportation under federal DOT money
uh-huh.
Provided some of the funding for restoration of WPA murals or the installation in the tunnel between the north and southbound sides of the South Nark train station.
Right.
So not part of the government, but certainly I would say a long history, 20 to 30 years of including an arts set aside where it's
reason.
Possible,
yeah.
the Walk Bridge.
Being a small town, Westport doesn't have an economic development office per se, so we work primarily with the First Selectman's office.
So it's more of a direct relationship with that office.
But we work toward similar goals. You know, we want to try to get people to town to see what we do. We also have developed, thanks to Norwalk and Susan's help, we also developed a mobile app which tours, gives a tour of Westport's public art. And that's something we're beginning to promote. We do one program a year, our Tea Talk, Thinkers, Educators, Artists Talk, where we bring a couple hundred members of the community in to talk about subjects that are of interest to the arts. And primarily we partner with the other arts organizations in town. There are, in our small town, there are more than 21 arts organizations, not-for-profit arts organizations. Yeah. So we've been trying to actively partner with those organizations on projects so we can help raise the visibility.
So do any of you have a budget or a staff?
Budget, yes. Staff, no.
Budget, no. Staff, no.
Budget, yes. Staff, no.
But you, John, you work for the...
I do.
So you really are.
I am.
Are you, what, half-time, quarter-time for the...
I feel like I give my whole life to arts and culture.
Oh, that's great.
But then I also give the other half of my life to economic development.
Yeah.
So I don't really – I work for the Department of Economic Development, and the Arts and Culture Commission is really a part of economic development. It really depends on the week, what projects are going on, what has to happen. Yeah. Really dictates how much time I dedicate towards the Arts and Culture Commission. But we don't have any paid dedicated staff just for arts and culture or tourism, and we don't have a budget just yet.
So how do things get done? I guess two questions. I mean, who sits on the commission? I mean, the commission members, are they appointed, elected?
So in Stanford, they are appointed.
Two terms?
The terms are for 3 years each. There's no term limit.
Right.
They're appointed by the mayor and then approved by the Board of Representatives. And our requirements are that six of those members be from arts and cultural organizations within the city. So, like I said, Lou Wersone from Curtain Call. We have Mike Moran from the Palace Theater, Stanford Center for the Arts. Bonnie Waddles from Franklin Street Works. And then three of the other three, because we have nine members, the other three members are just citizens of the city.
Okay. And in terms of actually doing stuff, that's
so
up to you. That's for you if something needs manpower or?
I partner with all of the commissioners on projects. So depending on what it may be, we will create a subcommittee of maybe two members to work specifically on a particular project with me.
I see. As volunteers.
Yes.
Right. In Westport,
we're a board of 15 appointed by the First Selectman.
Oh. And terms again?
2-year terms, also no limits. Many of us have been on the committee a long time. We tend to be, and we serve at the pleasure of the First Selectman, so many of our committee members tend to be professionals in the arts community. We all leave our egos at the door, and we try to work for the greater good when we're in the room.
So there's a lot of volunteerism there.
All volunteer. It's all volunteer. And then we, too, will set up subcommittees and reach out into the community to help on projects.
Terrific. And Susan, I guess the same?
Our commission is made up of 11 members, two of whom represent the Common Council, our town legislature. So we have a built-in link back to that group. We're very lucky, and it's either through the actual members of the council who are elected, or they can designate to someone to serve on their behalf.
So that links back to
the people, the decision makers about budgets and all kinds of other things.
Good.
Our Common Council member who serves is, in fact, a professional musician, Chris Hieronidi. So we're very lucky that we have arts talent on our Common Council, and also Emerson Straniti, who's also from the music field. The other nine members appointed by the mayor confirmed by the council, 3-year terms. And how do we get our work done? We have made incredibly, I think, good use our limited budget of about $15,000. It's been a little higher. It's been a little lower. Has allowed us not only to pay for the build of the mobile app and the annual licensing fee, but also to engage consultants for things like as curators for a couple of public spaces, and also for graphic design. One of our interests is making sure we have labels and signs on all of the pieces that we identified.
Yes.
So that we people don't look at the sculpture in our Veterans Park and go, who did it when? And and we actually recognize and appreciate a piece just surfaced within the last few weeks by an artist, Raymond Pease, P-E-A-S-E, who we hadn't known. It was a portrait of a former principal and quite a well-known artist. So we're working hard to get, or the sculpture at the library by Gene Woodham, I think. People look at this, but when years go by after they were acquired or commissioned, you run out of people who remember the stories.
But in so in terms of getting things done, it's the it's the commission members who are...
No, we engage. So if we have a collection, an inventory of about 150 pieces, and we're chipping away at making sure everything either digitally through our mobile app and or ideally through plaques if it's outdoor or labels if it's indoors has a standard. And we engage graphic designers, and we use our budget to pay the graphic designers and people who know curating and that type of thing to make.
But other projects also in terms of moving forward to get is a combination of commission members volunteering to help do things and then a little bit of your budget to help for professional.
And that's for professional, for areas that require professional expertise. We also, I don't want to minimize also the folks in the mayor's staff who provide us with some administrative support, just processing paperwork and invoices and the communications office. That's been great.
So you've mentioned, we've mentioned in passing some of the highlights of what you do, but could I just ask you what your sense of your key achievements have been, Nancy? You've mentioned two things and how you're sort of evolving, I guess, in terms of your signature.
Right. So the mobile app is something that we've been working hard on and using a good portion of our budget as well to produce. And our annual Tea Talk has also been a tremendous asset for the town and a success of the committee, I think. But moving forward, I think what we're really excited about is working with other arts organizations in town and partnering on initiatives. And sometimes that's an initiative that we may have come up with and realize we can't execute as a volunteer committee, so we may approach another organization to see if they can do that. So, for instance, we're embarking now on a project with the Westport Arts Center to do a competition for a conversation bench. And David, as you know, this came out of the conference that you chaired a few
Shaping
months ago.
Shaping Community.
The Shaping Community. Yeah. What could we do in our community that would help bring people together? And when we had our preliminary roundtables to see what it was that Westport felt about itself, what seemed to come out is that Westporters tend to be a little opinionated.
I remember that, yes.
They tend to express their opinions a lot but don't seem to listen as well. So this idea of a conversation bench, which goes back to the Victorian times when couples couldn't touch, but they were courting, and it was sort of an S-shaped bench, and they could face each other and not talk and not touch. we said, wouldn't it be wonderful to have a competition to reimagine this conversation bench and to force Westporters to sit and face each other and have to listen and not just talk? So we met with the Westport Arts Center because they're the ones that knew how to put on an exhibition and a competition. And they were very excited about it. And it's actually just going public now. The specs for the competition have just been posted on westportartscenter.org. And the exhibition will take place in March at the Westport Arts Center, 2 weeks in March.
That's fantastic. We'll
and
help it, to get the word out.
And
that.
It's being juried by an incredible trio whose names I'll leave out for now. but it's very exciting. And our part in the project, again, is just to help raise the visibility of it and to sort of bring it to the table, because I think one of the things we all struggle with in the arts is the lack of time to really think. We're always putting out fires. And everybody is overworked and generally overworked and understaffed. So when we have the freedom at the Arts Advisory Committee meetings to just think and throw ideas around, it's a wonderful thing. And then to go partner with organizations in town that can help execute these ideas is also.
Right. So this is your roadmap forward.
I think we're doing that. You know, we're pretty stretched as a volunteer group to present this one event a year. It takes a lot of planning.
Could you just... I don't want to skim over these other key achievements of yours. So, one, could you talk about, I mean,
Art Tea Talk?
The Tea Talk, there's the work you do with the public art, with the art in the schools, and...
Yes, but there are two other people here,
yes.
So... okay, in a nutshell, the Tea Talk Thinkers, Educators, Artists Talk has been a panel discussion of... topics interesting to the arts community. So most recently, we did a program called The Arts Go Viral, and it was talking a lot about how, with technology, people are able to spread what they do virally in different ways.
And there were some fantastic examples. I was there.
We had a member of our committee is Frederick Chu, the pianist, and he does this wonderful thing on today's version of a player piano where you can play and then it streams all over the world. They do salons at his Beechwood salons where he plays the piano and then it goes out to cities all over the world and they watch him play live. So, and then we were lucky enough to have David Pogue, who... aside from being the expert on technology, happens to also be a pianist and a musician. And he talked a lot about artificial intelligence, and that was really fascinating. So we try to keep up with topics that the public is going to be interested in, but that, again, gets the word of how important the arts is out.
Right. And you get a big attendance, I know that.
Yeah, we're building our audience. We had several hundred people there. Usually it takes place in the fall.
And the work that you've done with the public art collection, the Chernow?
The Westport Public Art Collections Committee is a subcommittee of the Arts Advisory Committee, and they manage the 1,400 works of art that are around town. And there's a lot of interaction between the artwork and the schools. And they're all volunteers, an incredible group of people that work with teachers when they're dealing with the subject matter and they want support. They go find that artwork and they bring it to the classroom. And there's a lot of work that goes into that. And we have a separate committee that handles most of that. But we also do accessions and de-accessions from the art collection, develop policy for that.
That's a tremendous amount of work.
It's a tremendous amount. Yeah. We have a couple of really dedicated, talented people who manage that. Kathy Benowitz is our town curator, and she handles the bulk of managing what happens to the art. But it is extraordinary. We have an incredible collection. And what's fascinating now, and Susan, I don't know if you run into this in Norwalk, but it's in December when we seem to get a lot of people who want to donate art to the town collection for tax purposes. And they don't necessarily recognize that it has to go through an acceptance process with the RTM and the Board of Selectmen. And they all want their paperwork done by the end of the month. And so we get quite inundated around now.
So, just Susan, I don't know whether this is public news, but your tenure is probably drawing to a close, and I wondered, looking back over the last 10 years, what you would say some of the commission's key achievements have been under your tenure.
Wow, that's tough. My term ends in June, so. I feel it's been a great ride. I think that the things I feel best about live in two different worlds. On the one hand, I feel good I am not an artist, but I'm a person who's passionate about the arts. The arts, like, as John said, and Nancy, I know, lives this life as well. I mean, it's just part of my life.
Right.
I feel that that we've done a really good job as an arts commission building, for lack of a better term, the infrastructure of a robust commission that's poised to move forward. All those key things, because I come out of bureaucracy, my professional life was spent in the public sector. So we have the inventory, we have a policy, we have a mobile app. Things are certainly going to and will need to be changed over the years, but the infrastructure is there. We have more recently an inventory of some of the venues, the performance venues around town besides the assets. But the companion piece that is much more in the random abstract world is is all the buzz and discussion. I kind of make a list, and I mean, I'm sure we could make rhyme or reason, but the fact that on any given week, if not any given day, there are conversations going on. There are people connecting with each other, people who want to connect with each other. There's creative buzz. So whether it's the St. Philip's Artists Guild that is doing some of the traffic graphics, whether it's the fact that the Arts Commission is now moving its meetings around to different locations. We've been to Music Theater of Connecticut. We've been to the Artist Market, the Renee Soto Gallery. And at the beginning of every meeting, I ask, how many of you have never been to this venue before? And I would say more than half of the people who are there any given night.
That's very important.
Aren't even aware of these exciting things. We're partnering for the first time next spring with the Norwalk Symphony in our People's Gallery to celebrate their 80th anniversary as a symphony. We've now assumed responsibility for recruiting people who attended Norwalk Public Schools and pursued careers in the arts. They're now the judges of the annual student art show. So we've linked people in that school-to-career model that were produced by the schools and are now judging. So lots of fun, cool things happening.
That's great.
All over town.
To be leaving with such a buzz.
Yeah, and an infrastructure, hopefully, to sustain it.
One thing I did want to ask, though, about was the Poet Laureate. Have one of the few towns that have a Poet Laureate. Could you tell us quickly a little bit about how that started? What was your involvement?
A mayor from Windsor Locks wrote a letter to other mayors around the state saying, we've got a Poet Laureate and you should think about
that's
it
great.
Too. And the state has
I
a Poet Laureate
yes.
and the United States of America has a Poet Laureate. So the Arts Commission embraced the idea. The mayor asked us our thoughts. The library was the natural partner. They serve as ex officio members. The director of the library researched and set up a process to invite Norwalk residents who wanted to be considered, formed a review committee, and boy, did we luck out. Laurel Peterson, who's a professor at Norwalk Community College, became our first Poet Laureate. And everything from writing poems to celebrate works of art, as well as conducting ekphrastic poetry workshops, running student groups, and we hosted the U.S. Poet Laureate Tracy Smith.
Oh yes, I remember
last spring in partnership with the Norwalk Education Foundation and Norwalk Community College. So the Poet Laureate most recently did an exhibit that combined poetry, dance, and photography. So choreographed dance movements to a poet to poems that were then photographed by a professional photographer.
And I don't know how many people have read the statistics that the NEA has produced recently, pointing out that poetry reading has been going up dramatically, especially against other art forms. Right. So this really is the
it's great
area.
We also have QR codes. So, for example, on our traffic graphic boxes, you can get the QR and then hear a Laurel reading a poem that might be the inspiration for the graphic, or go to our Oyster Shell Park. And we're encouraging people, when you go to parks and you stand up there in those thoughtful places, bring poetry in again. Access one, write one, read one, bring one with you. So poetry is really pretty integrated into our community right now.
So if we have time, I will we'll ask about your future plans. John, so for you, a lot, I know, is in the future because you're just a year old. But maybe you could tell us, like, what you're in the middle of doing.
So, you know, now. We're only a year old, but yeah. We've accomplished quite a lot in the past year. We've located and inventoried about 100 works for that are owned by the city of Stamford.
So that seems a common thread now, is getting an inventory of the public art in the town. Very important.
Well, you don't want pieces to go missing. You want to make sure that pieces are maintained, and that's really our next plan, and both Norwalk and Westport are going to help Stamford develop a maintenance plan for maintaining the city arts collection.
Yes. That's tremendous.
Yes. So we've also started to create, it's still in the beta stages, but a tourism website that will be discoverstamford.com. It'll also feature an app that will have a walking tour as well. We have a database of our city art organizations that we send out our press releases and newsletters to.
How many do you have on that?
107 right now.
Wow.
Not bad. We also disperse and award the city cap grants, which this year was $100,000, and we gave that to 12 different Stamford arts organizations to put on public events.
And that's an historic grant.
Yes.
Is that right? That goes back quite a
at
way.
Least 20 years. Mm. Longer than the Arts and Culture Commission. But when we were formed, that became a responsibility that was moved from the grants department to economic development because it made sense. Art professionals voting on different arts activities. But probably the biggest thing that I think our biggest accomplishment was we were able to secure $100,000 partially from the, I think, Westport-based Friends of James Doherty Foundation, as well as $50,000 from the city's 1% for Art Fund to restore the last of four WPA-era murals that were done by James Doherty. And these ones hung in Stamford High School. They were torn down in the late 1960s, and they were thrown away by construction workers.
A frequent story.
Yes, it really is, and it's sad. Yeah. But they were actually found and saved by a former student back in like, I think,
that's
71.
That's a great story.
It's fantastic, but they were torn and tattered into 30 pieces. After many years, the city was able to get them back, and most of them have been restored, but there's one that hasn't been, and that one is called The World Outside. And it's the largest of all of them. It's 30 feet. It's massive. It's 30 feet wide by 8.5 feet tall. So it's really big. By early next year, we'll have it installed in the Old Town Hall. The other pieces that you can go see are there's one in the Ferguson Library, one in UConn Stamford, and one is back at its old home in the Stamford High School. Two others, one is owned by Kathleen Kennedy. She has it in her personal home. And then the other is actually at Universal Music's headquarters in Santa Monica. And then one more was never found. Hmm. So it's quite an interesting story. And we're so happy that we were able to get this accomplished this year. So
it's interesting how here there are some real common threads. Mm-hmm. You didn't – all of that, I think of you have mentioned this. Is it the same AutoCast software that you're using, the tours of the towns?
We don't actually – ours does not have a narration, but we use ArcGIS Online, which is a mapping website.
I see. Mm-hmm. How do we get to that one?
So that'll just be linked on discoverstamford.com. It's not ready just yet.
On the tourism site.
Yep. Right. It'll be an extra link that's mobile-friendly, as well as you can view it on your computer.
Terrific. So you've again, another subject that you've mentioned is how you work with other organizations. Maybe you could talk a little bit about how that has evolved. I mean, in terms of seeing yourself as a commission as part of government, and how that balances with working with other organizations in town. I mean, you mentioned, Nancy, that this is a new focus for you. How has that evolved?
Well, it's just evolving. Mm-hmm. So we're starting this one project with the Westport Art Center. We too are looking at a poet laureate.
Oh, really? Great news.
And we'll work with the library as well.
Yeah.
To move that forward. We just think it's a great opportunity for the town, and of course we piggyback a lot on what Norwalk's doing because Susan's done such a great job with all the research and execution. But so I think, you know, we're also open to the organizations in town reaching out to us. So it's an ongoing endeavor, and I think one of the roles we're trying to play is to also get the arts organizations speaking to each other more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have a very loosely titled Let's Connect group of the organizations where we try to put out occasional correspondences to them to get them talking. But the arts organizations in Westport do work together well.
What's do you have a count? Do you have a number of
organizations?
It's,
there are 22 not-for-profit arts organizations mm-hmm. in Westport. And they range from, you know, the Westport Community Band to the Westport Country Playhouse. You know, they're all over the map. And writing groups and music groups and theater groups. And we just want to remind people that it's not just the big five that everybody knows in Westport. It's not just the library and the playhouse and the Levitt Pavilion. No, there are other organizations as well.
Do you have ideas of actually convening?
We have convened the group.
You have?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
We've done it a couple times, and we're probably due for another meeting soon.
And are the for-profits, any galleries?
We have not worked with the for-profit groups. Yes, there are several galleries. We have not done that yet.
Mm-hmm. And Susan, I'd love to hear about how you're now taking your commission meetings around the mm-hmm. around to other cultural organizations in town. Is this something that was there from the beginning in terms of reaching out to all of the groups, or has this developed as over the years?
Well, I think the members, once we became official, one of the conversations, like it is in many organizations, is what day of the week works, what time, morning, afternoon, evening. And as part of that discussion, we said, hey, why do we have to sit in room 101 at City Hall? I mean, there's no compelling reason we need to be sitting there as long as we comply with freedom of information and post our meeting location and take our minutes appropriately. But I think the other catalyst for this was we became big fans of an international program called Slow Art Day.
Oh, yes.
Which happens in April. I mean, if you Google Slow Art, you'll find the website. And the premise is that you look at a very limited – you provide an opportunity. It's on a Saturday for people to look at a limited number of pieces of visual art. And then get together over coffee and Danish to talk about what they saw. So it's less about the experts telling you what you should be seeing and more about having a chance to look at it. As part of that, the Arts Commission partnered with the Rowayton Art Center mm-hmm. and did a wonderful Slow Art Day experience there. And then last year at the Artworks Gallery on the Green in Norwalk. And so people so enjoyed going to those other venues, they said, hey, why don't we do that every month in a small way, just by convening our meetings there. So.
And for-profits, I know that you, like with galleries, you have a relationship with commercial galleries.
We do, mm-hmm. and it's just been great because it's – again, good news, bad news. It's not really bad news, but you go to like the Rene Soto Gallery or you go to the Artist Market, mm-hmm. long-term, Rene, one of the newest, and Artist Market, one of the oldest. And Jeff Price says, hey, I'm happy to have the Poet Laureate do her launch there. So while they're hosting a meeting, they're also becoming open to the idea and offering their space up as a venue. So the launch of a new poetry book called Oysterville, that the Poet Laureate produced, was launched at the Artist Market. Rene Soto has opened up a section of his gallery to the photographer Alex Rosenfeld to maintain the exhibit of dances choreographed to poems. So,
well, these really, from my perspective, are wonderful examples of how you're actively weaving together this cultural infrastructure and connecting people. Mm-hmm. And John... How does it look for you? You have, what did you say, 120?
107 on our list of cultural organizations, yeah. And that includes also individual artists. But the commission is composed of six of our... Right, yeah. Yes. From our major, really, our mm-hmm. major cultural institutions in Stamford. So they're already a part of the conversation, but we want to engage even more. The people who don't have that seat at the table, we want to give it to them. We want to see and hear what they're doing. We want to be able to promote their activities on our website, on our tourism page. And then also, Norwalk, Susan really inspired us to say, well, we could do that too. Why don't we host our meetings in, you know, different spaces throughout the city? It'll give the public and our members an opportunity to see what other cultural organizations right. are doing and to see different spaces that could be really funky and cool and not just government center. That is one way. We do have great relationships with many of our organizations, and I think that's due in part to our commissioners. They have been longtime Stamford residents. They've been in the arts community in Stamford for many, many mm-hmm. years. They know everyone, and that's really important for us to continue and maintain those relationships.
And just looking to the future, it's probably easier for you.
Yes.
Everything really is in the future.
So we're looking yeah. at maybe having an event to try to get everyone together, uh-huh. maybe an evening event, just to send out to the public. The public can attend. Arts organizations can attend, just to kind of get a feel of the community and really see what everyone's doing, have mm-hmm. an open dialogue, conversation. And then the commission's also looking to partner with Stamford Downtown, who puts on Alive at 5 and Art Walk.
Right. Yeah.
They do a really fantastic – they're really a major catalyst for the arts as well. They do a lot of arts events. They do arts and crafts on Bedford Street. But we're looking to partner with them for Art Walk this upcoming year. To feature the James Doherty murals, you know, that are already in this, you know,
right.
quarter of a mile span of each other. It's UConn, then two doors down, it's the Ferguson Library, and then across the street, you know, it's basically Old Town Hall. Integrating this and maybe bringing in other works of James Doherty from the foundation that's based in Westport but has their warehouse in Norwalk, and bringing extra pieces in to kind of complement the major murals as a part of Art Walk. So that's really one of our big things that we're looking at right now.
Just 5 seconds, if either of you want to mention key future. Things in the future.
Well, one thing that I'm surprised that I didn't mention, but John's description is reminding me, I think one of the best ways to ensure these kinds of things outlive the rest of us is a student docent program. Get 13 and 14 year olds involved. Ridgefield's Aldrich Museum has the best model. It's so easy to implement. Let students be the ones who guide walking tours in downtown, do the voiceovers for your mobile app, etc. Because they're the ones, you know, if you invest in them, you don't have to wait for, you know,
they're
the future.
Absolutely.
They're the ones. They're living in the community for longer than many of us. So,
this has been the December edition of Spotlight on Arts and Culture, the monthly interview show from the Cultural Alliance of Fairfield County. Broadcast live the second Monday of each month on WPKN 89.5 FM. I want to thank our guest today for coming into the studio and giving us much to think about, Nancy Diamond, co-chair of the Westport Arts Advisory Committee, John Varamo, program manager for Stamford Arts and Culture, and Susan Wallerstein, chair of the Norwalk Arts Commission. If you missed part of the broadcast, you can hear the show on WPKN podcasts on SoundCloud. I'm David Green with the Cultural Alliance of Fairfield County. Please tune in Monday, January 14th for the next edition of Spotlight on Arts and Culture.